Czechia used to have a large German-speaking population. The so-called Bohemian Germans inhabited especially the border region of the Sudetenland. However, many of them started settling here since the Middle Ages, deep in the heart of what used to be the Duchy of Bohemia. Vít Pohanka will tell you more about their origins and story.
It's the close of the 11th century, and the Duchy of Bohemia, its nobility and religious orders want to grow economically stronger. Cities such as Prague or Olomouc are already bustling with agriculture and trading activity, but large areas of the duchy still need development. That's when the town of Brod is born on the banks of the Sázava River in the region we now call the Bohemian Moravian Highlands. Historian Aleš Knápek walks me around its well-preserved historical center.
Bylo to spojené právě s obchodními cestami, že ta cesta pod Doubravím, vlastně z Kolínska pod Doubravím.
The earliest settlement was linked with the trading routes. We know about an important road leading from Kolín in central Bohemia to southwestern Moravia. The source is the Chronicle of Bohemians, written by the famous priest Cosmas of Prague. He wrote it in the 12th century, but describes earlier history. So from this we know, among other things, that today's busy route number 38 follows a much older road dating back to the Middle Ages. It leads through the main square of the town of Brod towards the bridge over the Sázava River. Originally, there was only a ford that gave the town its name, the Czech word Brod being the equivalent of the English word ford. At the outset, it was probably just a stop, a kind of resting place and service station on the road.
But the nobility and religious orders that owned large swaths of land wanted bigger income. There were indications that precious metals could be mined in the border mountains, but also deep in the interior highlands. These lands, however, were thinly populated, and the original Slavic inhabitants lacked the know-how. In the neighboring regions, mainly Bavaria, mining was already a well-established economic activity. So experts were invited.
Nastupuje hlavně do těch oblastí, řekněme v Čechách podhorských nebo těch pohraničních hvozdů.
They came mainly to the border regions of Bohemia, forests in the foothills of the border mountains, or the still thinly populated area of the highlands. It's obvious that the main driving force was the promise of mining precious metals. Here in the highlands, the landowners were hoping to find gold as early as in the 12th century. We have records showing that they searched for gold around the town of Humpolets and in the northern part of the highlands region. Prospecting for gold proved fruitless, but it showed that there were silver and iron deposits, and ever since the mining has continued more or less uninterrupted.
This first wave of foreign settlement in the 13th century is now known as the German colonization. Nevertheless, Aleš Knápek explains that this doesn't mean that there were no earlier inhabitants.
Kolonizace jako taková se nám asi spojuje s kolonizováním nějakých neobydlených oblastí.
When we speak about colonization in Europe, we usually mean the settlement of uninhabited areas. It's a bit misleading in this region and in the medieval context. We know from old chronicles, for example, that there had been roads here before the arrival of the German-speaking population. Obviously, there must have been some sort of previous Slavic settlement. So, rather than use the term colonization, I prefer to talk about the arrival of German managers or experts invited by the local nobility or religious orders.
A kteří sem přinášeli vědomosti spojené právě s vyhledáváním, ale zejména se zpracováním toho stříbra.
They brought the know-how that the older local population did not have. Namely, they knew how to prospect and mine silver ore and how to work with it. So they managed several silver mines in the surrounding area. We can learn from local records that some of the families with German names who lived in Brod actually rented out the mines. The aristocracy and religious orders who owned the land in those days simply invited German-speaking experts to increase the income from the land. Mining was more profitable than trying to increase taxation by founding new villages.
Tak, aby měli nějaký větší ekonomický zisk než z pouhého zakládání vesnic.
Aleš Knápek from the Museum of Havlíčkův Brod, which was actually known for many centuries as Německý or German Brod, in reference to its German-speaking population. Another expert on this period of history is Tomáš Sommer from Palacký University in Olomouc.
You know, the term colonization is not very precise because the new villages founded in the 13th century were both German and Czech.
So they were not colonizing virgin land, so to say.
Sometimes they did, for instance, in the mountainous regions, but more frequently there was some population before the Germans came. But we don't know precisely about the character of the older Slavic settlements there. So some places like Bohemian Moravian Highlands were inhabited not very densely. So there was still space for new settlers. In some areas, really the Germans came to the, slightly virgin.
Not completely empty regions.
Yeah? No. I mean,
not unsettled regions. There would be pockets of highly forested, I would suppose, mountainous regions where people were still not settling permanently.
Absolutely. So, therefore, the German colonization is quite typical for the border regions of today's Czech Republic because they are mountainous. And the Bohemian Moravian Highland, which is also mountainous and was not very densely populated. So yes, there was still some space to settle. This German colonization is definitely not limited just to the Bohemian Kingdom, because we could see pockets of German settlers even in the Kingdom of Hungary. You have Germans in today's Slovakia, around Budapest and elsewhere, especially the Transylvania. It was famous for the German cities, not surprisingly mining cities, like today's Cluj. That time the proper German name was Klausenburg. So this German colonization is typical for the whole Central Eastern Europe, not only Bohemian Kingdom.
So is it right to say that they had a certain know-how, mainly mining know-how, for which they were invited to Central and Eastern Europe?
Yes, I think this is really quite precise because they had experience with the mining. For instance, the Freiberg mines are very important and they were founded in 1160s. And therefore, they were experienced in mining and smelting, which is even more complex process. And also, they have this new type of German law, which concerns organization of the society as a whole. And there is another element, and it's the cities. So the Germans were employed basically to found cities, a new type of cities with their own town privileges.
The German newcomers brought new methods of economic exchange, namely they introduced currency, where the local population had traditionally used barter trade, or a direct exchange of goods and services for other goods and services.
And this was actually a novelty, because before that, the peasants paid in the grain, for instance, or with their work.
Do we know something about their way of life, in which ways it differed from the local Slavic population when they arrived, the Germans, in the 13th century?
Of course, most important was the so-called German law, the way how they organized the countryside. So it was different set of rules, and it was connected with the market and money, which was also a novelty. So if you want to pay your fees in coin, you need to, first of all, acquire the coin. So you need to have a market, and markets you have in cities. So this is a complex transformation of the society, basically around the market system, coins, etc. But also they have different legal systems. So this proved to be actually desirable by the nobility and the king.
Would it be oversimplification to say that the German-speaking immigration, that it was bringing economic and maybe even social progress?
Yeah, it's difficult to define progress in the Middle Ages, but I think so. We really can see that during the 13th century, the society changed a lot. The new type of towns were introduced at the beginning of the 13th century, and at the end of the 13th century, you have quite a dense network of towns and cities throughout the kingdom. And also, actually, at the very end of the 12th century, the so-called German Reich was introduced for the first time. By the end of the 13th century, it was basically the main form of organization in the countryside. And it really profoundly changed the society, which was more and more dependent on the market, which was also a novelty. So it was really part of the bigger transformation of the Bohemian kingdom.
Tomáš Sommer, historian from Palacký University in Olomouc. Let's get back to the Bohemian Moravian highlands. When silver deposits were exhausted, iron mining and manufacturing followed. New settlers from the various German states kept bringing innovation and new technologies even a few centuries later, explains Aleš Knápek.
Skláři, kteří byli spojeni nějakým způsobem s německým prostředím, sem nepochybně přicházeli a přicházejí sem vlastně v 16. století.
There's no doubt that glassblowing was associated with the German-speaking population, but it started later, in the first half of the 16th century. These immigrants were settling around Nové Město na Moravě, in the southwest of the Bohemian Moravian highlands, around the Sázava River. We know for certain that these were families that had roots in the Danube Valley, or the German side of the Bohemian forest mountains.
V Podunají, po Šumaví a podobně.
What is fascinating from today's point of view is that up until the birth of romantic nationalism in the 19th century, hardly any of the locals identified themselves as Germans or Czechs. They were first and foremost all subjects of the Habsburg Austrian Empire, and their native language was not really all that important.
Nechci říct, že to soužití bylo vždycky úplně bezproblémové až do toho 20. století teda, ale našli bychom mnoho.
I'm not trying to say that the cohabitation of the communities was completely problem free all the time up until the 20th century, but there were many instances of villages and towns where there weren't any conflicts. There were also linguistic benefits to Czechs and Germans living side by side. These days there are very few bilingual people in the region. In past centuries the local folk often spoke both German and Czech. They needed it for daily life, so it was really quite a common skill.
Dost často bych řekl na tu populaci tehdejší.
Aleš Knápek, historian of the Regional Museum in Havlíčkův Brod. Czech and German-speaking people lived peacefully side by side for nearly 8 centuries, even deep in the interior of what is now Czechia. It was only the hysterical nationalism, raised mainly by Nazi Germany in the middle of the 20th century, that managed to destroy their symbiosis. The vast majority of the German-speaking population was then expelled after the end of the World War II. From the Bohemian Moravian Highlands and Olomouc, Vít Pohanka, Radio Prague International.